Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, the ratings came out yesterday afternoon, I should say. The ratings were strong ratings. Not as strong as what some people thought they would be, including Anthony Lima. Lima, you thought that they'd have stronger ratings, or did you see that these ratings would come out? Because last night, or yesterday afternoon, should say, the ratings came out, and it was just over 22 million people watched the national championship game from just this past Monday. Now, that pointed out, it is a drop from the previous national championship game between Michigan and Washington.
Like 12%?
A 12% drop from Michigan and Washington. Why was that? I think part of it has to do with the inauguration. I think part of it has to do with it being a holiday. I know it's at night, but I think that part of that has to do with it. What I don't understand, those are just my thoughts. I don't understand, if I were Kenny Carman in Birmingham, Alabama, and I grew up a big Alabama fan, and I still like college football the way I like college football now, it would just me in a different part of the country, I'd still watch a national championship game. Like, I watched Alabama and Georgia in the national championship. I watched LSU in the national championship game. I don't think I've missed a national championship game since they started playing them.
Right. I watch it every year.
And that, like, goes back to the old days where it's just voted, and here's the Orange Bowl, and this is Nebraska and Miami.
Yeah, that original
SEC. I don't
SEC,
understand that.
The original SEC national championship game, I remember I had the least amount of interest in ever. Because we had seen that game already, and it was the SEC, and I was mad. I'll be honest. So I can understand why the entire South
did you not watch
might
it?
Have, I barely paid attention to it.
Wow.
And it was more of a protest. I'm sure there were a lot of people in the South who have been, you know, they were fighting for Alabama to get into this playoff. They were fighting for Ole Miss.
Weird.
And then they saw a play out, and then they saw vindication, really, from the Big Ten people. They're like, yeah, Big Ten was a lot better than people thought, and they didn't know any way to deal with it, so they just said, we're just not watching it. We're just not watching it, and they're just chalking it up to an anomaly. Bad year. They'll never happen again.
Two bad years
in a row?
That's what they're
saying.
Two bad years in a row?
I know.
And Notre Dame being in the national championship game and probably having a better team coming back next year?
And Nick Saban's not coming back.
Nope.
So that's over. So I do think there was a bit of a protest in the South. I also think this is two straight years where the Rose Bowl audience, which is always this massive audience, stayed the same. The Rose Bowl audience kind of stayed the same with the national championship. What does that tell you? You're not getting casual fans to watch this championship game. The same fans that watch the Rose Bowl which means you're not growing. Only the Super Bowl is the thing that grows. And the NBA's had problems with this too. They're not getting casual fans to watch the NBA Finals. It's not special anymore. NFL is, right? You're going to get more casual fans jump on the bandwagon this week because the ratings have been down both in the wild card and the semifinals, mm-hmm. but it's AFC Championship and NFC Championship. You're going to get people come out of the woodwork. People have watch parties. You know, are people doing Monday night watch parties for the National Championship?
Are we counting streaming now? Because it's been a little bit up and down on counting or not counting.
But you see what I'm saying. Like, Monday night, are people having National Championship watch parties?
No.
Maybe some Ohio State. I mean, I was invited to a few things, and everyone's like, no, we can't go. We got to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got to be up first thing. So that's
not the Super Bowl.
So the Monday is the first thing. And the other thing that I've seen most people attribute this to is, how are we still playing football at the end of January? So we've seen so many football games. We've seen so many playoffs. We all agree that a tournament is pretty cool because it gives you more games. Even if I was against certain aspects of the playoff and watering down the regular season, it does mean you have all these elimination games at the end of the year, which are supposed to be cool. But is this a situation where you're getting diminishing returns? Too much football. And fans just didn't feel like this was special. Like, you would have thought Notre Dame, Ohio State, national championship, special.
I don't know how you
special.
Can't think it's
two
special.
Two teams locking up that have the traditions and history and the fan bases and the alumni bases. Like, you would have thought special, and yet the fans were telling you this was not special to
us. I don't see a lot of college football played on a Monday night, even Maction. I don't see that during the regular season, so why can't we just play it on a Friday? I know you can't play it on a Saturday later in the year because you have to deal with the NFL, and no one wants to go up against the NFL with anything. Or unless they just accept that there's going to be a a part of the audience that's just not going to watch the NFL and it'll watch your product. Okay, fine. Like the Puppy Bowl or something during the Super Bowl. Sunday, you're not going to do it for the same reason. Why can't they just play the national championship? I mean, when I was an Ohio State fan, the greatest moment of my life was a Friday night beating Miami. That was a Friday night football game. You can't play the national championship game on a Friday night. What's stopping you from playing it on a Friday night? I think the NFL has proven you'll watch sports any day of the week. NBA primetime, even though it's a lesser number, you'll still watch sports any day of the week. Why can you not play that game on a Friday night? High school football's long over with by the time it happens. I think the season needs to start earlier. I hate to put this out there because I love the Army-Navy game, but I think
you can
play the Army-Navy game at 3, then you can play another game later on. I don't think it takes away from the ceremony and all the fun of the Army Navy game. I don't think that you're taking the Army Navy game and just making it a undercard for a national championship implication game. It's Army Navy. It's a very special day and a very special game. I don't think you're taking away from it.
So
can add these things and damn it, you can take away this conference championship and you can add teams to the playoffs and then do it how you're actually supposed to do it.
So I do have a question about the times and when these games are played. You know, the Super Bowl doesn't play. Everybody's always like, well, prime time. Prime time gets the most viewers. When does the Super Bowl start? Not prime time. Not prime time. That is not prime time, and the NFL has not moved it later. Like, it used to be at 6, like 18 or whatever. Now it's a little later to 6:30. They're not moving it to 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. No. Why? They want the most eyeballs. Super Bowl parties would drop precipitously if all of a sudden the game was at 8:30, right? They just would. People now have to do something the next day.
Dinner time in the East, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast. Yeah. I mean, and people are going to watch from around the world.
And then I'm going to bring up, and you just tell me if you think this is just a bad example all the way around and an all-time one-off. Then women's national championship was in Cleveland this year.
Yeah.
They did not play that game in prime time. You know what that peaked at? And I know it had Caitlin Clark, and I know that had casual fans that were tuned in. It peaked at 24 million. What would they have gotten had they have played that game on a Monday night at 8 o'clock? They would have gotten half that.
They wouldn't have got 24 million. I don't know if you can use that as the example, though, because it's Caitlin Clark. And I think we're seeing, I mean, how many women's college basketball games have I watched? I've watched a fraction that I watched last year because there's no Caitlin Clark.
So is Caitlin Clark bigger than Ohio State and bigger than Notre Dame?
I don't get to see a lot of Juju Watkins on the West Coast.
She's big enough to set with Taylor Swift.
She's... Owen, I think you just kind of hit it. I mean, if you're talking about casual fans, Ohio State has a giant fan base, but do they have enough of the casual fans coming in?
Well, that's
Notre Dame has a giant fan base. Do they have enough of the casual fan base coming in?
There used to be a time when casual fans would jump on to a national championship game and watch the final game of the year. They're not doing it anymore. And they're not doing it in the NBA Finals, and they're really not doing it in the World Series. So they're only doing it. They're only doing it in the NFL and in Caitlin Clark.
And I don't understand this, but maybe if I was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, maybe I would have just watched something. I can't imagine why you would if you were a big college football fan. But clearly there has to be something here where people in the Southeast said, nope, not watching teams in the North. Goodbye.
They did.
Those people from the South, in my experience, do not respect Ohio State and Notre Dame the way that you guys respect Ohio State and Notre Dame. They acknowledge that they are top programs, but they are not revered and coveted as...
It's just weird to me. Yeah. It's just... I know there's a lot of history there. It's just... It's very weird to me. If you're a college football fan, well, how you would not watch a college football national championship game.
Than the game.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's a big game. I would still count it second. I wouldn't count it first.
Took me living here to recognize the game as big as it is compared to the Red River, whatever we're calling it now.
Yeah, you can't say shootout anymore. Yeah. Well, maybe you can again. We'll find out. Yeah. Oh yeah, we can't do coming in hot tomorrow. You're not here tomorrow, so we're not going to do. I'm not doing coming in hot with Daryl here. Are you nuts?
Oh, I think you have to.
No. Daryl's an emotional boy. We're not doing that. Mary Kay Cabot, she's tough talking. She enters right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. I didn't text you. I didn't prep you. So I don't know whether or not to ask you the question. Lima's going to go. Oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Lima's going under the knife tomorrow for a vasectomy. Pease, what should he do?
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean, what should he do?
Should there be ice? What should he do afterwards?
Should I even be doing it, Mary
Should
Kay?
He do it? Should he have a stay of execution here?
That is the question. I probably wouldn't do it if I were him, but it's a personal decision.
I'm done. I'm canceling. I'm canceling right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dr. J. It's over.
You said you wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't you do it if you were telling? I'm sorry, I was yelling.
Well, you just never know what life is going to bring. You never know what you're going to hope for later in life. You just never know.
I am not having any more kids with my wife or anyone else, Mary Kay.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
We are done.
Then go for it and enjoy your children and have a wonderful life.
Mary Kay, this business is actually so sick is that when I one time we considered it and then there was a no-go and Jonah came around. But I said I was going to do it. I had a veteran radio guy go, no, you can't do that. I said, well, why? And he says, well, you've only been married once. I said, yeah. He goes, you're going to get married again to somebody much younger later on in your life. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, that's what radio guys do, and that's what you will do. I went, no, I'm not. He goes, that's what you say now. And I go, no. I can't do that.
Or you might want another little baby at some point in your life. You just never know. But have at it.
I don't know. Lima, you got this marriage thing figured out just the way you want. I don't think you want to mess around with anything else. Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Tommy Rees, he's going to have his press conference today coming up at 10 a.m. He's the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. I just assume Kevin Stefanski is going to take over play calling duty then?
I don't know. We do not know the answer to that. I think that I doubt that they're going to announce it today. But I think it's something they'll have to work through as they reshape this offense once again and figure out exactly where they're going with it and what they want to do with it.
Okay, if Tommy Rees is going to be here in Cleveland, he used to be the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Jalen Milroe, he comes from Alabama. You see where I'm going with this? Does this mean that they might be taking Jalen Milroe at some point in this draft?
Well, Jalen Milroe is certainly on their radar, as are all the top quarterbacks in this draft. So Tommy has more inside intel on Jalen than anybody else after having worked with him for a whole year there at Alabama. So I think it's great that they have that, and that's one they can check Jalen off the box when it comes to wondering what his personality is like, wondering what his work ethic is like, wondering how he relates to his teammates and his leadership ability. They know all of that stuff. So they're ahead of the game with Jalen. Doesn't mean they're going to take him, but they certainly have all the info that they need on him.
About a month ago, you said you were going to go through your process with some of the rookie quarterbacks coming out. Have you gone through your process? Is there anybody you like early?
I've started the process, but it's kind of a long process, and it's still early. Part of it involves going to the Senior Bowl next week, so I'm leaving on Monday for Mobile, Alabama. Jalen Milroe will be there. Jackson Dart will be there. A lot of other good players will also be there. Shador won't be there. He's going to the East-West Shrine Game, and these things kind of overlap, so it was hard to do both. So he will not be there. But, yeah, I've started to talk to people and look into some things, and it's going to be very interesting to see how these quarterbacks shake out this year.
When you see the way that some of the press conferences and some of the reports are out there, and it happens every single year, and it's always entertaining. But like the new man in charge in Tennessee saying generational talent at number one, we're not going to pass on that. Does that lead you to any conclusions, or do you think all of this is just total silliness?
Lots of gamesmanship going on right now. Of course, when you have the number one overall pick, if you're not 100% certain about the player that you want there, you're going to talk that pick up as much as you possibly can and try to drum up some interest in the pick, maybe even get another first rounder for next year or something like that. So there will be all kinds of things that will come out of everywhere over the next few weeks and months, and you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt and just know that there is a strategy for most of these teams.
Have you heard any conversation at all about the non-top two guys, the non-Ward, non-Sanders, about any inkling that they might like any other name a little bit later on?
In terms of a quarterback?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Well, I would say that, you know, we've already talked a little bit about Jalen. He's not necessarily, he's not regarded right now as one of the top two guys. And I think that he's somebody that they will take a good look at, and they'll take a good look at him this week. And also same thing with Jackson Dart. Any of those top guys are going to be on the radar, but I don't know if they necessarily prefer them or are targeting them or anything like that, but they are scouting all of those guys very heavily.
You know, we always talk about different grades at quarterback, whether it's a first-round grade, a second-round grade, but a lot of that has become moot because the second-round quarterback is like an endangered species. Now teams just trade up to the end of the first to go get that quarterback. So given that, like, how much of an emphasis, if the Browns had a second-round grade on Shedeur Sanders or even Cam Ward, would that prevent them from taking him in, say, you know, not maybe not at number two, but a little bit later on in the first round, maybe a trade-up?
Yeah, I mean, if you like a quarterback and you think a quarterback in this draft can help you, you have to take that quarterback where you can get him, not where you think he should be ranked or where you think he should be go, where he should go. Because if you think that Shedeur, or let's just say Jalen, if you think that Jalen is a number 50-something quarterback, but you have a pick at 33, then you're going to have to reach up and get him because the quarterback that you like will be gone by the time you pick at 50-something. So I think, it's a strategy, and with quarterbacks, you kind of have to throw the rankings out the window a little bit.
Do you believe Deion Sanders would let his son play for the Cleveland Browns?
That's a great question. I'm very anxious to try to find out who Deion is talking about when he has teams he doesn't want his son to play for. I keep thinking that if Cleveland is one of those teams, which it wouldn't be surprising right now if Cleveland were on the list, because Cleveland doesn't have a good reputation right now in terms of quarterbacks, right? But I just have a feeling that if Deion sat down with Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, that those guys could sell a pretty good game for Deion talking about Shedeur. So I don't think it's a deal breaker, even if right now he might not be that keen on Cleveland. And I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I think that can change.
We've heard so many different names as a bridge, potential bridge quarterback that they could go after this offseason, independent of what they decide to do in the draft. Do you have a short list right now, Mary Kay, or maybe a very long list of quarterbacks that you think are in play right now for this football team?
Well, I think everyone has to figure out first who is going to be available. You don't know what's going to happen necessarily with Justin Fields, and you don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson and Sam Darnold. We have a pretty good idea that Kirk Cousins will become available. But no, I don't have a short list yet on just exactly what the Browns are thinking in terms of those veteran quarterbacks. A lot of it will shake out over the next month when guys either get re-signed or get released or whatever the case may be.
If they found themselves with a chance to take Travis Hunter, how do you think that they would use him?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I would find a way to use him both ways if possible, maybe not 100% of the time. Maybe you go 80% defensive back, 20% wide receiver or something like that. Or maybe you flip that and see which position he will excel at most. But he's such a talent. He's such a weapon that you probably can't go wrong either way. And it's going to take a nice creative mind to figure out how to maximize that dual threat ability.
You mentioned cuts just moments ago. Are there any names that might be a little bit surprising to fans that you've maybe highlighted as potential cut candidates?
Well, in terms of in the league or for the Browns?
For the Browns.
Well, this would not be a cut, but Andrew Berry at his season wrap-up sort of indicated that there is a world in which Nick Chubb doesn't get re-signed here. So that would probably be the most upsetting, I think, for Browns fans, if, of course, that happens. But it might not. They might be able to bring him back on some minimum type of contract with incentives or something like that. So that could happen in that regard. But I think that Andrew was trying to manage expectations a little bit for Nick Chubb.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think that I want to react right off the bat if they don't sign him first day of free agency. I think it's going to take at least a week. You have a draft class coming out that seems to be a little bit more robust with running backs, and there could be a little bit of not so much needed when it comes to free agency. So if I don't think I want to react until he were to sign with another team. Then I think I might get a little bit upset with the Browns over it.
Right, exactly. Anything can still happen because he's not going to be probably in the first wave of players that gets plucked right off the market. So there will be an opportunity to go back at it. But I'm sure they've already had these discussions with Nick Chubb. There's no way that Andrew would sit up there and say what he said at the wrap-up if he hadn't already had those discussions with Nick Chubb and with his representation. They respect him too much, vice versa, and you will always do right by Nick Chubb.
Between JOK, DeJuan Jones, and Mike Hall, all had really rough endings to the season, obviously, because of injuries. What is the level of optimism, do you think, from the Browns on those three? Maybe not being ready to go for week one, but being able to get back on the football field and have normal seasons next year.
Well, it seems to me that they feel pretty good about DeJuan Jones. I think he's penciled in at left tackle, and they're hoping that that works out the way they expect it to. And then same thing with Mike Hall. I do think that they believe that Mike Hall will be ready to go probably by the beginning of the season. And then JOK, we just don't know yet. When you have a neck injury the way that he did, it's still up in the air. It's still just hanging out there about when he'll be able to play and in some cases if he'll be able to play. And the Browns have only really said that they're hopeful, they're hoping he'll be back, and no one really is able to put a time frame on it yet or to handicap how long it will take for him to get back on the field. So I do think that's one to keep an eye on, and they're probably going to have to find a way to replace him just in case.
You tired of seeing Kansas City in the Super Bowl?
Not really.
Really?
Because I really did like Patrick coming out in 2018, and I really enjoyed watching his career. And I'm not really tired of it. But by the same token, I absolutely really liked Josh Allen coming out. Patrick was 17. Josh was 18. I really liked Josh coming out in 18, too. So it's really cool to watch how these guys have developed. And in some ways, it would be nice to see someone else in the Super Bowl, but I never really bet against Patrick either.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. And Lima thanks you for the advice. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Lima's afraid he's gone soft. This is about quarterbacks. This ain't about anything else here. Tell me why. I think you've been listening to Peterlin too much, and you're afraid you've gone soft.
You got on the phone with me yesterday. Accused of that, my God. No,
that's not a shot at Peterlin.
Kidding, of course.
That came off like a total shot at Peterlin. I didn't mean it like that. He has just been vociferous in his love of Shedeur Sanders and want to draft of Shedeur Sanders. And you are going, man, it's January 23rd, and?
And I don't have a strong conviction right now on what the Browns are supposed to do. I think there are a lot of bad options if we're talking about what can the Browns do to become a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Like, what can they do to get on the level of Kansas City, which is in a level of their own? Whether they can get out there and get where Buffalo is, or, you know, even you just saw them lose, but Lamar Jackson, that's still a team that, how do you outperform them over the course of a season? You don't. Baltimore, like, I don't have a way for the Browns. Normally I have these fixes. Like before, I'll admit, I thought Deshaun Watson was the fix. I thought he was an elite quarterback, and I thought that was the easy fix to upgrade from Baker. Obviously was not. And all that stuff blew up not only in my face, it blew up in Browns fans' faces because the Browns did it and it cratered. I don't know the move right now, and I'm not really finding anybody that has an assurance or a way that the Browns can become Super Bowl contenders next year. They can make the playoffs next year. That's the NFL. You saw that Houston 2 years ago. You saw Washington last year.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm more inclined probably to just throw the dice on a quarterback at the top. I know it's what Daryl says. You can't take a quarterback to take a quarterback. Well, I'm hoping all along that you've done the work, and if you have a grade on these quarterbacks that warrant a first-round selection, then yeah, there's the players get taken all over the first round that can end up helping their team make the playoffs.
He doesn't want to do that. Well, you can't just take QB to take quarterback. I know that. I think it makes everybody go the opposite of what you just said. Like, oh, I throw my hands up and let's take the quarterback, and I assume they did the work. I think that everybody feels differently. If we're not going to approach the playoffs, or we're not going to approach a Super Bowl, then what are we all doing here?
Well, I do think they could make the playoffs. I think rookies, you just saw Bo Nix. And what did people think about Bo Nix going into the season? And he was good enough. He's not great. He's not going to be on Mahomes level. I people try to bring up Drew Brees. I'm not seeing it, but you can do it. But in terms of what it would take to get to the Super Bowl, I also don't think Kirk Cousins. I don't think Derek Carr. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo. We can go through the whole list of potential Justin Fields. I don't think any of those guys do that either.
I think that makes them go, okay, then I want to save all this for a person I actually care about, or for a person I can actually be talked into. They want as perfect a prospect as you could possibly find. And of course, with everybody, since you haven't had a real quarterback since Bernie Kosar, you had a good quarterback at one point, but obviously that went out the window. So if you've had 1.5 or 1 2/3 of a quarterback over the last 30-plus years, yeah, people are going to want a perfect quarterback. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to have the perfect prospect next year, because I think it's more of a guessing game than it's ever been.
How would they get the perfect prospect?
By losing as many games as possible next year.
How would you do that?
By not taking a quarterback.
You'd not take a quarterback. You'd trade Myles Garrett.
Yep.
You'd bottom out.
Well, you can't do it right now because of the cap hit implications.
But you would
bottom out and you would tank. So many people are signing up for that.
No one wants to do that. No, I don't hear anybody that wants to do that.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
I don't. Every time we talk about Myles Garrett trade, everyone's like, that would be it. I'm done with the Browns forever.
Well,
so I don't know anybody that wants to do that.
Then you better call me up and tell me that there's reasons why you can have some sort of faith in Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry then. Because if you don't have any faith in Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, you can't have two things at once, guys. It can't happen that way. You either are suiting up and getting ready and trying to make a run at a reasonable record in 2025, whatever that may be. I'm thinking in the neighborhood of 8-9, 9-8, somewhere in there. I mean, anything more than that is really... I mean, I think people will look at that and roll their eyes at that and think that that's unrealistic. But anything more than that, certainly unrealistic. You're either trying to do that or... No, I'm not bringing in anybody then. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about Myles Garrett staying here and being upset with it if then I don't trust Andrew Berry and I don't trust Kevin Stefanski. You can't have it both ways. So pick a route and go. That I don't blame you for not standing up with conviction and pounding the table. I think it's harder than ever to find a quarterback. And let's be honest, with your history... You haven't exactly hit it out of the park. Of course, it's easy to say you don't hit it out of the park when people are afraid to put it out there. You've put it out there before, and you know Deshaun Watson certainly hasn't worked out for us. And who brought up the other quarterback that Anthony wanted that ended up sucking
Carson,
up the room?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
He was an MVP
yeah.
candidate, and then he broke his back, he broke his legs, and then he lost it upstairs.
Lyman's not here for
his teammates in many situations.
Yep.
Lyman's not here for a long time. He's here for a good time.
That's
and,
right.
You know, both of those guys had some good times there in their first stops. You can't keep Miles and then tell me you don't want them to take anybody. If you're keeping Miles, you're picking up a veteran and you're taking a young quarterback. That's what keeps Miles.
Miles doesn't want to sit through 7-9 and no young quarterback.
No.
Like, and even it is hard for Miles because a young quarterback in most cases does not do what Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud did. In most cases, there's a learning curve. And, you know, again, Patrick Mahomes sat a year. I mean, famously sat a year. So
yeah.
How many years down the road does Miles Garrett have to wait for this whole thing to work out?
I think it's come to a loggerheads now, because by the end of next year, are you going to be able to get the return on Myles Garrett that you want? And remember, like, we're not even discussing this right now. You have a guy who's making $18 million. How much is one of the Bosa's making? $34 million? Isn't that what Nick Bosa's making? Was it
yeah,
Nick or
younger,
Joe?
It's the yeah. younger one.
So Nick Bosa's making $34 million. Chris Jones is making $30 million. And Myles Garrett is making what?
25.
Guys, we haven't even scratched. He's making $25 million. Lyman said it was like 19.
It's like 18 or 19 on the contract,
okay.
But it averaged out to 25 a year.
Perfect. Thank you very, very much. So that's we haven't even scratched the surface of that. That's a guy who's going to want an extension and want some more money. If you're not trading him, then you're extending him. Well, what's that going to be on the cap hit later on? And you're going to run out of time where he's the only guy you can trade a first-round pick for. The only guy. So you're going to have to put up or shut up soon. So guess what? You're going to have to take a veteran, regardless. You can take a guy number two overall. You can trade up number one, and you're taking a veteran. You're going to get a veteran, and you got to get a young quarterback somewhere in that draft. Somebody that you can believe and make Miles and your other guys believe that you can do this, that you can approach the playoffs. Brett and Chesterland, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Morning. How are you?
We're doing okay, Brett. Go right on ahead.
Hey, I'm willing to blow this whole thing up. I mean, I'd get rid of Ward. I'd get rid of Garrett. I don't want a journeyman quarterback. I would trade down, get draft picks, and build this thing for the new stadium if there is even going
to
be a new stadium.
Well, if you don't want a journeyman quarterback, then you're going to have to take one at the top, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I don't want any of these quarterbacks. I mean, I'd bring back Winston. I mean, what the hell? I mean, you're not going to win with this roster, I don't think. So I'd blow everything up.
Are you willing to tank it out for a year? Because eventually you're going to have to start to build up eventually.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the plan. You start building this year. If you trade down, get multiple picks. If you trade Garrett, you're going to get a first rounder. If you trade Ward, you're going to get a first rounder, you would assume. So I'd build through the draft.
Can I take a stab at why you say that? Can I take a guess at why you say that? You don't trust Andrew Berry. Is that it?
Well, I mean, if he's around, he's obviously going to be making the picks.
Well, that's – but I want to ask –
that's a problem.
But, Brett, I'm just asking your – boy, you just said that's a problem. I'm just asking your opinion. Do you or do you not trust Andrew Berry? I guess that you don't. Am
no.
I right? Okay,
no.
You don't.
You're right, yeah. No.
Well, then you don't want to you don't want to trade Miles Garrett this year, because if you trade Miles Garrett this year, guess who's making the pick with that trade that you made?
Not necessarily. If you trade him this year for a pick in a year or two, if you trade him this year and the team obviously stinks again this year,
mm-hmm.
this upcoming season.
Okay.
Berry and Stefanski are going to be gone, or at least one of them is going to be gone. I would assume a Berry for sure.
But if it was your job, would you trade for a pick in the future that you're not even guaranteed to make?
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but that's Jimmy Haslam's call. I mean, that's why Jimmy Haslam could easily go in there and say, I want him traded. He can easily do that.
Yeah, he can do it. It's his team. But then, you know what? If he does that, you know how many people are going to call me up and tell me that the owner needs to get his nose out of the Browns football business? See, nothing's perfect, Brett.
He really has been out of the business. I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know. We're in a catch 22. It's a catch 22. This team is not going to win with this roster they have, and that's why I said I'd blow everything up. I have no problem with that. And like you said, you're going to have to pay Garrett here eventually. I mean, and he's going to be long in the tooth.
I would think would happen here, like, because Brett, there are no outs. They've left themselves with very little. Brett, thank you very much for the call. Like, we're talking about insurance and things like that with the current quarterback that's not going to play for the team again. He'll be on the roster, but not going to play for the team again. They've left the fans with no outs. You don't trust the guys making the picks. Well, they're not going to trade for picks that some other guy might make. You don't trust the coaching staff. Well, that guy's not going anywhere right now. I don't trust any of the quarterbacks right now, and I'm going to waste time of the players. And then
where,
if we want the owner to get involved,
disagree.
That's a totally different
thing. I'm not going to sit here every day and say I don't trust anybody, so we shouldn't do anything. Like, I don't understand that as an approach to trying to make the Browns better. They have to operate like a normal franchise organization. They can't be thinking, you know, day by day, well, we might not have a job next year, and nor do I want the fans thinking, I don't trust anybody, so we can't take good players.
In less than 4 minutes, can you give me a plan and tell me why I'm wrong?
I mean, I can try, yeah.